The example of the Magi pose a question for us. What are you searching for? Here we have three wise men who have been searching the skies to find signs. They know what they're searching for. Do you know what you're searching for? It's a very important question. Before we can fully address this question, though, I want to start from a very important foundational point, a very different question. Are you searching for anything? It's an important question to start out with, because we can't answer any later questions if we're not actually looking for anything. And frankly, I think most of us are in a pretty good place in life. We have most of our basic needs met. We have most of what we could want. Why would we look for anything? What difference would it make in our lives? Which is why that question is so important. If we don't have anything to look for, anything worth striving for, anything that's worth changing our lives over, we won't have any reason to search. We have no reason to accept the Magi's question. So we must start. Are you searching for anything? Is there anything you would like to find? Because then we go on to the second question. What are you looking for? If there is something worth finding, then it's worth looking for something. The challenge is, we are generally looking for something. We wander the world looking for maybe peace or maybe justice. Maybe we're hoping for a good experience or a happy day. Maybe we're looking for happiness or love or joy. We have lots of things we could be looking for. But the Magi teach us something different, a third question. The third question is, what do you expect to find? Think about it for a moment. If we have agreed that we're starting from a point of searching for something and we're looking for something in life, what do we expect to find? This is what's so fascinating about the Magi. Here are these people from the East who spent their lives studying prophecy, various prophecies of many different religions, and they spent their lives studying the sky. How do the stars align? What will they do? And so in many ways, they are looking for something very specific. They want to find the great kings of the earth so they can pay them homage. But what are we searching for? As a fun side note, did you know that during the week of Christmas, the Christmas star appeared? It appeared on Wednesday. You could go out and see the same star that appeared at Jesus' birth. The first time it appeared in 800 years. Honestly, I think they said the same thing last year, but that's a different story. Regardless, it gives a point. What are we looking for? Is there anything in the world that will actually make us realize there's something more out there? As Isaiah tells us in our first reading, we can easily get caught up in the darkness of the world, that everything seems overshadowed by pain and gloom and problems to the point where it's like, why bother? Why bother looking for anything else? But that's where he has a different point. He says, lift up your heads and see. It's a command. Lift up your heads and see. There's something worth finding. What is it? Well, we know what it is. It's God. But how do we know it's Him? This is the challenge we have. God gives very clear indications of his presence among us. He has very specific things He does that if we notice them, we can know that God is with us. This is what we should be searching for. That's what the Magi challenge us with, to find these things. So first of all, beauty. We don't often think of it, but beauty is an expression of God. We see a wonderful sunset or a sunrise. We look across the mountains and see the green hills covered with trees or a little brook and stream. Or maybe it's the winter and all the mountains are snow-capped. There's beauty to that. Or maybe we see a piece of art and we look at it with its vivid colors and its perspective or its emotional appeal or the story within it. There's something about it that captivates us. What it does, though, is it speaks to us. It draws us out of ourselves into something wonderful, because beauty comes from God. And in this way, this beauty, it challenges us and brings us healing. It helps us to realize the wonder of the world, and there's something great to it. But even more than that, even beyond the idea of beauty, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, he gives us very specific examples of what the Messiah would do. And all these are recognition of God's power among us. The first one, he brings sight to the blind and he lets the lame leap for joy. Now we can think of this in a very practical sense. If I saw someone's sight restored or someone who's paralytic jump up, I'd be pretty amazed too. I'd think, wow, look what God has done. But I want us to think about this in a more metaphorical sense. Because our blindness is not just whether we can see. It's whether we recognize what's out there. So often we're blinded by our own thoughts that we can't see what God is doing. We can't recognize His presence. Or blinded by our own inhibitions that we can't see truth, we can't see justice, we can't see what's right, we can't see well. And in many ways, the idea of being bound by not being able to walk means the situation of life has bound us. We can't rise from our situation. We can't do more. We're stuck. And this is the beauty of the Messiah. He came that we may be above all that. We may be able to see rightly, see what's true and just. We may be able to rise from our situation into new life. Think about the examples from the gospel. Whenever Jesus heals someone, blindness, lameness, whatever, it's always a recognition of new life. Not just, hey, look, you can walk, good for you. Hey, look, you can see, good for you. He does something more. Look, you are now part of the resurrection. You are now part of what the Messiah can do. Look, world, the Messiah is here in front of you. The second part of the prophecy was that those who are in darkness would see a great light. Isn't that us? Don't we wander in the land of gloom? Lives are kind of sad. World's kind of dark. Things are going bad. Well, we've missed those little lights. Like I mentioned with the Christmas star, that little light that really was inconsequential. You didn't have to look. That's kind of how God is. He looks for the little. That in the midst of all the darkness, a little gleaming light can make a huge difference. And he did that. He made light shine in our darkness, that we may never be overshadowed entirely by the darkness. There's always goodness there. The next part is that those in prison may be set free. Congratulations, you're not in prison. We don't have bars binding us. We don't have shackles around our arms and legs. That's clearly not entirely what he meant. In the same metaphorical and analogical sense, the idea of being free from sin is that bondage that we're stuck in. So often, sin can feel like it shackles us, that it binds us to this world and forces us into its mold. No, we are free from that. We can be free in such a way where all those things are gone. We can rise to new life. Look again at what Jesus did in the Gospels. When he healed someone, he didn't just say, "Be healed," like the healers of today who boldly proclaim who they are. No, he said, "Stand and walk that you may know that the Son of Man has the ability to forgive sins." Every time he healed was not just a physical healing. It was a spiritual healing, spiritual and physical. That by being healed spiritually, it had physical ramifications. It allowed them to rise from both the physical and spiritual ailments into new life. This is what's so profound about that, that he can heal in such a way that we are never shackled to anything. We're never bound by anything. We're never imprisoned by anything. We're always free. And lastly, he proclaimed a year acceptable to the Lord. He made us acceptable to God, that God wants us. He wants our gifts. He wants our voice. Jesus opened that avenue that God would desire us and desire us fully. Even more than these prophecies of the Messiah and what he actually did, we can go even further. Although they're wonderful, and if we see them working out in our world, we go, look, there is God. He is here. But the same thing works with virtue. If we feel courageous, or feel a sense of fortitude, strength in what we're doing, magnanimity, the greatness of who we are, any of these virtues can also be examples of God's action in our lives as he's encouraging us, instilling with us what we need to persevere through life. Or even the theological virtues. All of a sudden we have a profound sense of hope. Everything's going to be all right. Or faith that God is present with us. Or maybe it's kindness or gentleness, self-control. Maybe it's something like generosity. We just have this immense sense that something's even better. This is recognition of God's presence with us. And it's important for us to know these things, that we may recognize him in our midst when he comes. Not just search aimlessly, search with a purpose. We want to find God. So I challenge you, are you actually searching for anything? Does your life matter enough where you want to find something greater? God will always give something greater. And if you are, what are you searching for? What do you hope to find? Do you want something for yourself? Do you want to just change something in your life? Or are you searching for something specific? Do you want to find God? Do you want to recognize him? Because he will show himself. He will give you signs. He will make it clear when he is near, because he wants you to know for certain that he is with you. He wants you to know that God will always be with you. and he is here, present among us, guiding us through every step of life.